Today's a sugya about Tainis Esther, and it happens to work out very nicely this week's parsha and Parshas Beshalach. At the very end, we're told of the Melchemes Amalek, and there it says in the pasuk, "Vayas Yoshua Kasher Amar LaMoshe LiLachem BeAmalek UMoshe VeAaron Chur Alul Rosh HaGiva." So Moshe was accompanied by Aaron and Chur on his sides, and helping him, assisting him, and the rush and today's sugya, Rush happens to quote it. I apologize by the Mar Makomos, by the way. I need to look at them the night before to make sure that the right Mar Makomos are in there. So I'm sorry. I know you were sent on a wild goose chase on the Rush and the Shultis and maybe others. But the Rush that you were supposed to see, if you had a chance to, in the first parak in the Siman Aleph, he quotes this idea based on the Pesukim, this week's Parsha. He says, V'chein matzin, we find by Moshe, she'asa tainis, he fasted. Kishenilcham ba'amalek, when he was fighting with Amalek, Dechsev Moshe Aaron v'chura alu Rosh HaGiva. This week's Parsha, Mamash quotes it as the source of Tainis Esther, and he says Darshinim Maseches Tainis, though it doesn't exist anywhere in Maseches Tainis, it's unclear where the source really is from, but he quotes this as a source of the Tainis Tzibur, that Tainis Tzibur requires three people, and he says Mikan Nira the Rabbeinu Tam Sad LeTainis Esther. This is a source, this is a smach for Tainis Esther. Shana Osen that we do Bizman Azeh, Kamo, just like they did in the times of Mordechai and Esther. This is the only Mar Makom that we have anywhere of Tainis Esther. This is where the Rosh says this week's Parsha, these Psukim. Again, unclear, there's no real medrash that darshins from these words, but that was the Masorah that the Rosh had. So let's understand the nature of Tainis Esther. We'll start with the Sugyan Dav Beis, and we'll figure out the nature of Tainis Esther with some interesting nafkaminas of how serious of a Tainis Esther, in fact, is. So we have a Maseches Sofrim as well. That the Rush quotes, which is different than what he understands. Maseches Sofrim says as follows. It says, firstly, it says in the Medrash, Esther Abba, that Tomer Esther Lahashiv El Mordechai, she told Mordechai the following message. She tells him, Lech Knosis Klai Yehudim, as we know, gather all the Jews together. Hanim Tzom B'Shushan V'Tzomo Alai, they should fast for me. It should be Shloshes Yomim for 3 days. And these three fast days took place in which month, guys? Nisan, Gimel, Yadav, V'Tesvav. These were the fast days they took upon themselves then. And the Maseches Sofrim says in Perek Chaf Aleph, Minag Raboseinu Shebemarav. The great rabbis of the West, that's in Eretz Yisrael. They had a Minag L'Hisanos Shloshes Yimei Tzom to fast for 3 days. Ula Acher Purim. So they had the Minag. This is not the times of Mordechai and Esther. Afterwards, generations later, they were makabal on themselves to fast 3 days after Purim. Not before Purim, but after Purim. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. There's a Bahab. We have Bahab now by the Shlosh Regalim. There's a Bahab also by Purim that's brought down the Maseches Sofrim. The Monday, Thursday, Monday after Purim, these different Rebbeim, Rabboseinu of Mar would fast. Why wouldn't they fast in Nisan? Right? This was supposed to remember what they did in Nisan. So why are they doing a Bahab in Adar? It says, you're right, it really should have been a Nisan, says Maseches Sofrim. But why don't we do this? The Mishkan was built, was set up on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it was the days of the Nisim bringing the Karbanos for 12 days, Shemasar Nisim, and therefore it would be inappropriate to fast on these days. Now, even though the fast would be the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Nisan after the days are over, but as we know, we don't say Tachan in all of Nisan, because once most of Nisan is full of Yamim Tovim, whether it's the Karbanos of the Nisim and the Pesach, the whole month is a month of Simcha, we can't fast. So therefore, the fast takes place in Adar. But it really should be in Nisan. That's what the Maseches Sofrim writes. So that doesn't seem to be why we would be fasting on Tainis Esther, though. So why do we fast on Tainis Esther? Because number one is, this was a Bahab. Number two is, it was supposed to be in Nisan. Number three, this was only the people, the rabbis in Maariv would fast. So why do we fast Tainis Esther? So let's understand this sugya. So the Gemara taught us that there are multiple days, like we discussed yesterday, when a person could lay Megillah, Kfarim, Ayaros Gedolos, Mukafos Choma. And the Gemara goes on to Darshan. How do we know that there's a heter to lay and read earlier than Yudal and Tesvav? How do you know to lay on Yud Gimel, Yud Beit, Yud Aleph? Gemara brings drashas, Zmanayim, Zmanam Tuva. So that includes Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. But what's the reason why you're allowed to lay in Megillah on the 13th? What are the words the Gemara says, guys? Zman Kehila. Gemara says a very cryptic phrase, Zman Kehila. This was a day of gathering, and therefore you don't need a pasuk to prove you can read Megillah and your Gimel. It was obvious because it's a Zman Kehila. Zman Kehili. So what makes this a Zman Kehila? So there are three pshatim we have in the Rishon. So we'll do the first two, we'll just explain what they say, and then we'll elaborate on the third position of the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi, Atar, writes, Zman Kehila l'chali, ha'kol nikalu li nakim oivayim. That everybody gathered in the times of Mordechai and Esther. Again, Nisan was when she went in, and that's when the fasting took place. But the fighting, when they were able to protect themselves and defend against all the enemies throughout the world, that took place on the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So the 13th, says Rashi, is when they gathered together to take revenge, to fight, to defend themselves from the enemies. Bein b'shushan, bein b'shar mekomos. Everywhere, they started gathering on the 13th of Adar. As I read in the pasuk, he says, Hilkach lo tzarech krali rebuyi. You don't need a pasuk to include the 13th, because it's a day that's certainly royal kriya. It's obvious. De ikar nes bohaya. This was the primary miracle that took place on the 13th of Adar. Now the Rosh quotes a second explanation. He says that no, there's a Yushalmi that says differently. The Yushalmi actually uses a kal v'chomer. Yushalmi says, if laning in the 14th and 15th, that's a mefurish pasuk. And we learn that you can lay in the 11th and 12th. Now, the 13th, which is smack in the middle of those days, why would you not be able to? So if you could lay in 11th and 12th much earlier than Kal Vachomer, you could even lay in on the 13th. That's the suggestion of the re-quoting from the Yushalmi. But the Rosh doesn't like this because the Gemara doesn't use the Kal Vachomer here in this context in the Bavli. So he's not comfortable with this being the Drush. But those are the first two Drushes. The Rashi says, again, it's a time of Zman Mechama. And the Rabbi says it's because it's this Kal Vachomer based on the Yusham. But this is what we want to focus in on. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that if it's really true like Rashi, it should have said in the Gemara Zman Milchama. It doesn't say Zman Milchama. And he doesn't like the Re either because it doesn't say Kal Vachomer. So what's Pshat according to Rabbeinu Tam? What is Zman Kehila L'chol Himi? So this is what he writes. Hopefully you had a chance to see us, if there were enough Gemaras around. If not, I apologize. It says, Perish, Rabbeinu Tam, Zman Kehila L'cholhi, Shakol Misasvin L'tainis Esther. Everybody gathers together for a fast day. Uboim b'nei akvarim la'yaros. They would come to the villagers would come to the big cities, Lomar Slichos v'tachanunim, l'fi shebo nikalu la'mod al nafsham v'ayutzichim rachmim. It would daven. It would be a Yom Tainis. So it's called the Zman Kehila. And now the truth is, who was it? Jakey pointed out to me, and many pointed out, you said that the Cheshek Shlomo on the back quoted from the Shiltos, and then the Ginoza pointed out from the Shiltos, that said Yom HaKnisa was actually the Tainis for the Kfarim. In other words, it wasn't that you asked me the question, when would the Tainis be for the people of the Kfarim? They call Yom HaKnisa to hear Purim and Megillah. When would the Tainis take place? So the Chayshik Shlomo writes, and the Shiltas writes, that Yom HaKnisa was also the day of Tainis Tzibur, Tainis Esther for them. So Yom HaKnisa would actually change with the Tainis Esther. For us, Tainis Esther is always Yud Gimel. But for the Kfarim, if they were going to Yom HaKnisa on, let's say, Yud Aleph, that was also Tainis Esther for them. They'd fast in that day, and they'd chop Megillah, Kriyas Megillah, they'd chop up laning of Tainis Tzibur, and I believe Tosfos writes later on in the Masechta, they'd also hear Vayavo Amalek, which is the laning of Purim Day. So they'd have a lot of reading going on that very day on Yom HaKnisa. The point being is that day Yom HaKnisa is also the Yom Kehila. It's the same exact, two different words, but Kehila means to gather, Knisa means to gather. That's what it means, says Rabbeinu Tam. Yom Kehila is Yom Knisa in essence. It's a day of gathering together. It was Tainis Esther, meaning Yud Gimel Adar, forgetting the Kfarim right now. I just use that to bring the point of the word Knisa and Kehila, but forgetting the Kfarim. For everyone else who lays on the 14th and those few who lay on the 15th, Yud Gimel Adar is always Tainis Esther. It's always Tainis Esther. That day is called Zman Kehila because that's when we gather together to daven, tachanunim, and slichos, and the laying. That's the understanding. Nothing to do with Milchama. Not the Milchama when they gather to fight, but it's rather when they gather to fast and to daven. That's the nature of Tainis Esther according to Rabbeinu Tam. And for that reason, it's clear from the Gemara why you would read Megillah on such a day. That could be added in addition to your Dalet and Tesva. Now, we could ask the following question. Now that we've established this idea of the Tainus Esther, and this is the source of Tainus Esther according to Rabbeinu Tam, this we see come up in the Gemara, that's his understanding. So we can ask a few questions in understanding the nature of Tainus Esther. The first question we can ask is whether Tainus Esther is a Tainus Tzibur or Tainus Yachid. Number two is it a day that's sad, like the other Tainios we have? Is it a day that's happy? What's the function of Tainus Esther? What's our goal? What's our mission? What should our perspective be? So let's first raise the question whether it was a real Tainus Tzibur or maybe it's a Tainus Yachid of some sort. So there's a Chassam Sofer. I know you saw a few of them in the Mar Makomos, but one of the Chassam Sofers in the Mar Makomos, he says that the truth is that I don't have my source in front of me, so I'm just going to go with what I have in front of me on the computer here. But the Chassam Sofer, I think it's the bottom right on your page. It's the Dibur Maschil, was it Yid Gimel Zman Kila L'Cholhi? So he quotes the Rush that says as follows. That Vadai Roy Hayol Sakin Simcha B'Yom HaMelchama V'Anes. Really? The celebration of Purim really should have been in the 13th on Yud Gimel. Just like Pesach is the Yom HaYitziah. This week's Parsha, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yitziah from Mitzrayim, it was on the day that took place. So Purim really should have been in the 13th. However, since we have this Kabbalah, I didn't elaborate on this point, I should have, I meant. When the Rabbeinu Tam points out this Indian of Tainus, the fast Tainus Esther, whenever you fight against Amalek, you have to have a day beforehand of fasting. We fight against other nations, Ammon and Moab, whoever else, you don't have to fast. But when it comes to Amalek, for whatever reason, we have to fast before fighting Amalek. So that applied when we, Yeshua, this week's Parsha, Moshe, that was that fast, this week's Parsha, and then the fast in the times of Haman as well. So he said, really, we should have been celebrating a Yud Gimel. That should have been the Nes. We were able to defend ourselves. But since we had to fast on that day, in the times of Mordechai and Esther, and we fast now as well, to remember that on Yud Gimel, we had to push off the day of Simcha. We had to push off the day of Mishnah until Yud Dalet. But really, we're not keeping the best day. It's not really the right day. The right day is really Yud Gimel. Yud Dalet is really a Nidche. Because the Tainus is a real serious Tainus. It's such a strong Tainus that it pushed off this Simcha Purim. So I think what we can learn from the Chassam Sofer is that Tainus Esther is not just like a small little Tainus. It's a very serious Tainus. It's a strong Tainus in that we push off the day of Purim. Now let me just get in my machshava glasses just for a moment because I can't miss this point here. Maybe one night we'll spend talking about this as well. But you find the Chassam Sofer and by Amalek in general, this concept of things having to do with Amalek is always pushed off to Machar, to the next day. You find this and when they fought, if Moshe says, gather me an army and we'll go Machar, we'll go fight them tomorrow. Why not today? Esther says, come to the party, Haman and Achashverosh, but what do you want? Come back Machar, come back tomorrow, we'll talk about that. And there's an Indian to that, but I want to share another Chassam Sofer. I'll elaborate one of these nights on this Indian of Machar, but just on this point, because it's a Chassam Sofer L'shitaso. Chassam Sofer said that really, Yud Gimel should have been Purim, but we were Nidcha, we pushed it off to Yud Dalet. That's what he writes. So there's a Chassam Sofer in his Sefer Toras Moshe on Al Torah, on Parsha Shemos, a couple weeks ago. It says in the Pasuk that when Moshe Beinu was born, the Torah, and she saw that he was Kitov, he was good. And what does Rashi say? That Abayis Nismali Ba'or is full of light. So the Chassam Sofer quotes from Rav Yaakov Emden, that was Mechadish the following thing. He says that that or represents the or of Purim. Lahu d'maisa or of a simcha of a sasim v'ikai, that was the or of Purim. Moshe Beinu connects to the or of Purim. And he said that Moshe Beinu was born on Shabbos, on Zayin Adar, which now makes next week, the next Shabbos, it's the 14th. Of Adar, right? Shabbos, his bris milah was on Shabbos the next week, the 14th. But Moshe Beinu was born Mahul, so there's no bris milah, he had Tafas Dambris. But Tafas Dambris can't be done on Shabbos, so it's pushed off Nitcha to Sunday, to the 15th. So 14th was the day that was Roy for the bris milah, The 15th, 15th was a day of the Hatavas Dam Brith, and therefore the 14th and 15th both were considered days of Or, and that's why we have Purim. That's what Rav Yaakov Emden says. Chassam Sofer quotes this. So we have this Indian of Nidche by Purim, by Moshe Rabbeinu's birth, and here again by our actual celebration. Now Chassam Sofer says, I get why the 15th is a day of Purim, because that's when Lemaisa got the Hatavas Dam Brith. But Lemaisa on the 14th, nothing happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the need for a celebration? So he goes into a whole nother cheshbon. He says, I agree to the 15th, that's a good explanation. But the 14th is a whole nother pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life, on Zayin Adar, the day of his birth and his Yartzeit, what did he do? He taught the Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. When the Torah is given, the Medrash says, Rashi brings this out of Torah. Only the Shevet Levi learned the Torah. It wasn't given to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Only Shevet Levi. And then they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, the rest of Klal Yisrael. They said, Moshe, Rebbe, we want to learn also. And Moshe was so happy that everyone wanted to learn. It was like a big simcha. So he taught on Zayin Adar, the day of his final day on this earth. He taught Torah to Kol, all of Klal Yisrael. And that day, Zayin Adar, should have been a day of simcha, because everyone wanted to learn. But since it turned out Moshe died that day, it became a sad day, and that lasted for Avelis. By the time it was over, the 14th was the first day you could make up that celebration. It was supposed to be Zayin Adar, pushed off 7 days because of Shivas Yimei Avelis. So 14th is making up. It was a Nidche, and that's why the 14th is Adar. So this is, again, a few Chassam Sofers putting together where Purim is always Nidche, always pushed off, which I think relates to this Inyan of Machar, which we'll discuss whenever we get to the Ushpizan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Fine. Back into the Halacha part of things. So now we have from this Chassam Sofer that Tainus Esther seems to be a very strong, very severe Tainus in that it pushes off the Yom Tov, the Simcha of Purim. Now, the Rambam, if you got a chance to see the Rambam, was it right, the Rambam in the Maamar Kamos? Okay, good. So from what you saw on the Rambam, what were your thoughts of how he classified Tainus Esther? Was it like the other Tainus Tzibor, or was it different? Different, yeah, how so?
Well, when he gave the list of the four, so he said there are four that are in Kabbalah. And this one,
he says Inagua, that Nachon and Zecha as well, yeah. So that's in terms of just, the source of it. So one's four Divrei Kabbalah, and this is just a Zecha. So it sounds like this could have been Divrei Kabbalah, but it's not. Sounds like it's a little bit weaker. Any other, anyone? Yeah.
Well, the Tanya was to Zecha the Churban, but Tanya's sister has no relationship to the Churban.
Exactly, nothing to do with the Churban as well. And he seems to allude to that, which the Ritva says as well. We have a concept that Gemara says that when it comes to the Peronios, we don't makdim him. When a Peronios Tishra, for example, falls out on Shabbos, we don't say, let's fast on Thursday, let's bring Tishra off earlier. We don't want to push it off till Sunday. But Masha'en Kain, Tainus Esther, there's no Churban, it's not related to a Churban, there's no Peronios to speak of, so we could fast on Thursday. If Purim were to fall out, or Tainus Esther were to fall out on Shabbos, so we would fast earlier. So it's not about a Churban. So it's certainly different in terms of Churban, but in terms of the severity, I agree, that does sound like from the Rambam that it's not as severe. We don't call it Divrei Kabbalah. The Lashon is as follows. V'nogu, it's only a minhag also. The practice. Nogu kol Yisrael bizmanim elu, lis'anos b'shlosha asar ba'adar, zecher, l'tayne she'hisanu b'meimei Haman, to remember the fast that they had done in the times of Mordechai, Esther, and Haman. So it sounds like it's a weaker form of a tainus. That seems to be the Ritva's understanding as well. The Ritva on Daf Beis, our Ritva here, and this Daf we're on. Any questions? Okay. He says, Lo matzinu tainus ze bechlal hatzamos, shem gzeres chachamim, el kein tainus yachidu. He says that tainus Esther, it's not a tainus tzibur like the other tainus. It's a tainus yachid. V'yafa pishachai v'adim lesanos bo, even though we have an obligation to fast on tainus Esther, we can't end it. Mishimal titosh tarasi mecha tzar kabbalah mibod yom. There's an end of a kabbalah of a tainus. I'm not sure if you've ever seen this in the end of a mincha. If you look at any siddur, mincha, a kind of tzur, they have a little paragraph you could add. If you're mekabel a tainus yachid, you say, I don't know the lashem, you say some kabbalah that I want to fast the next day. A tainus tzibur, we don't do that by a tainus tzibur. I don't need to make a kabbalah. It's already, we're mekabel as a tzibur to fast on Tisha B'Av, to fast on Shavasa Batamas and some gedalia and so on. But says the Ritva, Tainus Esther is not the same way. It wasn't niskabel by everyone. And if you want to fast, then you should because of the Masorah that we have. But it's not a chiv mitzad the tainis, and therefore we should be makabel a tainis yachid. I was once davening. I was not in Rav Hirsch's year in YU, but I was for some reason davening in his classroom like one time. I guess it was a tainis. I think it was tainis Esther davening mincha. No, erev tainis Esther, and I think he announced that everyone should have in mind to be makabel on Yud Beis Adar, makabel mincha time a tainis yachid of tainis Esther the next day. I never heard this announced. I don't know if that's a paskin, which is the chumrah because it's the ritva, but that's what you have to do if you paskin like the ritva, to be makabel the mincha prior, that tomorrow I want to be makabel myself a fast of tainis Esther. It's only a tainis yachid. So I'm not sure if the Rambam would agree that it's a tainis yachid only or tainis sibur. He might agree, think it's a tainis sibur, but a low level tainis. But that's one machlokus, whether it's a tainis yachid or a tainis sibur. There is a nafkamina in addition to it being, whether you have to be makabel the tainis yachid or not. There's a Gemara in Brachas, I forgot to bring it. I remember it's Daf Yud Ches Yud Tes or so. The Gemara talks about whether te'ima, whether you could taste something on a tainis. There's machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam and I think Rabbeinu Chananel, if I remember correctly, whether that Gemara is talking about tainis sibur or tainis yachid, whether it's talking about te'ima, the way we do te'ima, we taste a little bit, swallow, or does te'ima mean to taste and to spit out? That's a discussion within the Rishonim, but according to some Rishonim, that heter of te'ima might only be allowed by tainis yachid, ma'ashein kein a tainis sibur would be entirely usher to do so. And it would be nafkamina, let's say Tishrav or Shavas Matamas. Could you have scope? Could you take Listerine chips? Would that be allowed? It's telling how to understand that sugya there. So there may be another nafkamina where the te'ima would be allowed on tainis Esther. Meaning, although you might assume by all the tainis seaboards it would be usher te'ima, but tainis Esther, it depends. If it's a tainis sibur also, it would equally be usher. But if tainis Esther is a tainis yachid, then it would be allowed. Te'ima would be permitted. Okay, we're good with this so far? Okay, so let's dig deeper now. So we have this machlokas, tainis tibur, tainis yachid, how severe, how not severe, we'll get back to that in just a moment. But in terms of the nature, what is the nature of the day of tainis Esther? Is it a happy day? Is it a sad day? So the Ritva writes in Daf Hey, Amud Aleph, the Ritva there in front of you have it, if you can take a look if you want. He writes that tainis shilafrei purim, which is tainis Esther, shenagul lahakdimo liyom haknisa, Mishum dahu tainis tshuvahi v'lesbe mishum akdume pranas aklal. V'lo od is also tainis yachid. So he's addressing the question of tainis Esther falls on Shabbos, although all other tainis we push off because it's zeich lechurban, tainis Esther is not, it's a day of tshuva. It's a nature, day of tshuva, a person should better himself, which is a serious day. It could be a happy day, Yom Kippur is a happy day, but it's a more serious day, according to the Ritva's understanding here, at least in Maseches Megillah. But in Maseches Tainis, he quotes in the Ravid, I apologize, this one was my fault. It was a long Dir Maskil Mai, according in some editions, and it was way at the end of it, it was all the way at the end, I apologize. But if you want to look it up afterwards, it's Dir Maskil Aval, Das HaRavid. The Ravid says the nature of Tainis Esther is not a day of tshuva, but he writes it's actually Zecher L'Neis Shenaso Bohu. So it's to remember the Neis that took place there. Remember that Neis, which sounds like more of a happy day. And yeah, though we're fasting, but the focus does not need to be on tshuva. It's just to remember the Nisim that took place in the times of Mordechai and Esther. This is also embraced by the Meiri and the Shiltos. The Shiltos also writes, I apologize about the Shiltos. The Shiltos writes clearly that Mipnei Shehu Neis, it's a Neis, and Nes, we're makdimim, we don't push off Nisim, we want to usher in the Nisim, so they assume it's a Nes. So there's an interesting machlokas whether it's a Nes or whether it's a time of tshuva.
Why would you want to fast on a Nes? It's like a happy day, why are you fasting?
Yeah, so according to Rifa, it would seem that he doesn't learn like Rabbeinu Tam that there's an inner fasting before the Mechama. It sounds like he's more like the Maseches Sofrim, that they fasted on 3 days in Nisan. We were Baruch Hashem, we were given a Yeshua. So that was part of the Yeshua. That was part of the process of that Zeichel Neis. So we do it in... Got it? Okay, so now this leads to other questions. Halach L'maisa. So how severe is Tainis Esther? Is it more chumras, more kulas? So at first glance, what would you think? More chumras, more kulas? More kulas, right. It's Zeichel Neis. It's not a Zeichel Churban. One would imagine there should be more kulas. That would be the simple understanding. But the Bach quotes, actually, it's the opposite, that there might be more chumras. Why would there be more chumras? Because he says more chumras than other Tanyos Sibur, from a different angle, in terms of the source of the Tainus. Tainus Esther is sourced in Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah is Kedivrei Torah. The other Tainus Sibur, although they're in the Pesukim as well, we know the Gemara tells us it depends on whether we're in times of Shalom or times of Shmad. It wavers. Tainus Esther doesn't waver. It's absolute. So therefore, we live in a time where, although we don't have the base of Mikdash and we're still mourning the base of Mikdash, it's not the times of Shmad, Baruch Hashem. The times of Shalom. So we were makabel ourselves to fast nonetheless, but the level of severity, says the Bach, is actually weaker. That's what he understands. He says, Afilu, he said, therefore, Afilu mubaros v'adomim lehem, those who are pregnant, those who have a hard time fasting, those who are ill, weak, mechuyovim lesanos de divrei kabbalah ke divrei Torah. Lefi zeh, tainis zeh, chomer tfei, it's more severe than the other dalet somos. The Bizman is there nowadays, ain't Shmad, ain't Shalom. We're not in times of peace, but we're not in times of terrible Shmads either. And therefore, it depends on our willingness. And they're more mekilin on Mubaros. If a woman's pregnant by a Shivas Bar Thomas, Tisha B'Av is different. We try to push her more. But Tzom Gedalia, we're very mekil. Sabbateus, we're very mekil. Even though it's a short fast day, if one needs to break the fast, we don't play around with a woman who's pregnant. But Tanis Esther, he says, Divrei Kabbalah. Mubaros have to fast. Much more severe. Lamais, we don't paskin this way. The Rambam writes, as we said earlier, it's simply a minug. It's not really a divrei kabbalah. It was a minug that was later taken upon ourselves. And therefore, by nature, it's much weaker as a minug. And that's how the Rambam paskins in the Tough Reish Pevav, Sif Beis, that we're makel lagabe many halachas. But one of them is Mubaros. If they're weak, they need not fast at all on Tainus Esther. So based on this idea, let's just finish off with a few interesting nafkaminas. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that there's a kula to, normally we don't allow for a person to get married the night, the Leil of Atainus. Certainly not Leil Tisha B'Av and Leil Shavas B'Tamas because of other inyanim, but even by Leil Tzom Gedalia, even though it's hard to have that, Motzei Rosh Hashanah, but that, if one wanted to, fine. Might be other issues there, but in Leil Asar B'Teves, one's not allowed to have a nisuin. When it comes to Tainus Esther, for some reason, is it possible Shlomo Zalman got married on Leil Tainus Esther? I think he got married maybe right before Purim. I don't know. Possibly he did. I don't remember. But either way, he says you're allowed to get married Leil Tainus Esther because it's not a din of avelus. It's not churban, and also it's a very makel to minog ba'almas not divrei kabbalah. And that's one heter Rosh Shlomo Zalman had based on Tainus Esther. Another one he said, I was just talking to Dr. Bruckstein about, apparently I'm related, or he's related to my dentist, my family's dentist. I just found out just yesterday. Can you go to the dentist on Tainus Esther? They put water in your mouth, you might drink it. You're not supposed to put water in your mouth on a Tainus lest you come to drink it. Scope is a discussion because no one wants to drink it. You want to spit it out. It might be some tima. But so could you go to the dentist on Tainus Esther? If someone would ask me to go on Tzom Gedalia, I would say no, because you have to wash out your mouth. Even though you spit it out, you might swallow something. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, since we could be more makel on Tainus Esther, there's a heter to go to the dentist if you happen to have that. Now I'll add something else based on this idea. Not really heter, but just something to think about. The Gemara tells us that a person has a din, Torah, with a goy, said 1 month not to go, to the Din Torah, 1 month to go to Din Torah. So the month not to go is Av, and the month to go is Adar. You can push off the Adar, the Mazel Dik a month. So does that Mazel exist on Tainus Esther as well? That's an interesting question to raise. So the more serious you take this, the more about Slicha and Tshuva, maybe not. And the more it's about Zeichanes and Simcha, there would be room to think the Mazel would exist. Not Muchach to say that, but I'll tell you a personal story I had. So when I was... let's see how long. This was when which kid was born? Must have been Yeshaya. Okay. So Yeshaya. Is it Yeshaya? Yeah, it was Yeshaya. Okay. So I was in YU. I was learning in YU. And then I had parked. My wife was in Queens. She went to the doctor. And the doctor says, you need to go to the hospital. You're going to deliver the baby. So I drove back. and those who know Queens well, so along Jewel Avenue from the Van Wyck, so they make a right turn on the service road. I forget the name of that service road, but the basketball courts. So I went down there, and there's like a stop sign at the end. You make a left turn. Those who know what I'm talking about, you can't go straight. Just do not enter. You make a left. So I didn't really stop. I just kind of went around. I had to meet my wife at the hospital. And there was a cop sitting there waiting for cars. Many cars would do that and just pulling them over. And so I got a ticket. One of the only three times I was pulled over in my life. I think it's a little, right, in my age. So I was pulled over three times. That was one of the three times. So before I could even explain myself to the officer that my wife is, delivering a baby in a few hours from now. So he just wrote up a quick ticket and sent me on my way. So the next day my son was born, and I figured I'd fight the ticket, save a couple $100 and points on my license. So I appealed it and I sent it in the mail, and I got the court date, pumped on Yud Gimel Adar Tainus Esther. So I'm wondering, is the mazel going to work or not? This is mamish, like, we'll see if it's going to happen or not. So what happens? So so the court date comes, it's Tainus Esther. So I go to the DMV, and I wore a suit, and this goes back, and my son's 14, he's turning 14 next week. So it's 14 years ago. So I came in with a suit, and I brought like a little briefcase to look a little bit professional. And so I'm there at the DMV in, where was it? It was, I think, in Farakwe, not... Where was it? Springfield Gardens. That's where, yeah. Rockwood Turnpike. That's where I was, Rockwood Turnpike. And I was probably the only person there who knew how to speak English. So the way it works, if I understand correctly, is that there's an officer there. If your officer is not there, you're off the hook. If he's there, then you have to, duke it out with him. So I don't remember what my officer looked like. It looked like the guy who pulled me over. I don't know. It was a matter of like 2 minutes I saw the guy. So I'm sitting there, and they're calling every name, something Rodriguez, something, all these Gonzalez, all these Spanish names. And then the officer isn't there, and they're all like off the hook. And my luck is they call my name, and then, okay, come forward. And it's my officer, me and him, with only two there. So he, I don't know the jargon that the judges use, but he said something to the officer, would you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, whatever that statement is? And he says yes or something. And then he says something, I don't know exactly what the question was, but he asked him, are you ready to prosecute? Something along those lines, I don't know. And the officer looks at me, and he says, no. So then the judge says, okay, you're good to go. I said, what? He says, that's it, you're done. Zehu. And there we go. That was the mazel. That was the mazel of Tainus Esther. So it works. So we brought a proof from a real Maisa Shehaya that there's mazel even on Tainus Esther. Okay, let's finish off now. Two more kulas. Rishon Zalman writes that the person has a heter to also, you could take a bath or a shower if you wanted on Tainus Esther. Although in general, one's allowed to as well, other than on Tisha B'Av. But Ramachmi, the post can say one should avoid taking showers and bathing on a tiny seabor if they can. I remember in camp in Marasha, I wasn't as religious as I am now, but when I was in camp, so we knew this halacha that you can't bathe on Tisha B'Av, which meant that you can bathe on Shavuos HaBetamuz. It was very hot always in Shavuos HaBetamuz. So we go in the shower and just like take shower all day long in Shavuos HaBetamuz. That's allowed, but it's really discouraged from doing so. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman says in Tainus Esther, you don't have to discourage it all. It's completely permitted, 100% allowed to take a bath or shower if one wanted to on Tainus Esther. And the final one is a chasan during a Shavuot Brachos. So what happens if it's a Tainus during a Shavuot Brachos? Does he need to fast? And the answer is he does have to fast in general if he coincides with a Tainus. But if it's Tainus Esther, so then it's brought down by the poskim that he doesn't need to fast if it's Tainus Esther, if it's during a Shavuot Brachos. And final question we'll leave off with. Did you have the Hari Kedem in the... Amakomis was there, Hari Kedem?
Yeah.
It was there? Okay, fine. I didn't get to review it again, but I'll just say quickly what the interesting question he raises. So Hari Kedem brings the following question. Rav Soloveitchik asks the question. We have a medrash that tells us that the Lashon Lavo is going to be all the Rambam writes, read the Lashon of the Rambam, in Hilchas Tainius, Halacha Hei, and Perakei rather, all the fast days are going to be batel in the times of Mashiach. Not only will they be batel, but they're going to be days of celebration and happiness and so on. Now, we have a concept that Las Lavo, Purim, will be still celebrated. While the Medrash says all Yom Tov will be batel, Purim will still outlast that. There are a number of contradictory majoshim, which Yom Tovim we will have, which one we don't have. But one Medrash says we'll only have Purim. So now the question he raised is, what will happen with Tainis Esther? Will we have a Tainis Esther fast before Purim? Or will that be bottled as well? So he says, if Tainis Esther is Zeichonais part of Purim, it's attached to each other, so we'd have to fast as part of the Zeichonais of Purim. It's part and parcel. It's a Chelik of Purim. But if Tainis Esther is a separate inin, it's about Slicha Mechila, even though it's not connected to the Churban, but it's a just different type of day. It's not a Zeichonais. It's just a fast day that we're trying to, as a Minog, or a fast day of Slicha Mechila, then one would say it's rebuttal as well, along with the other Tzomos. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm not sure what's tomorrow's sugya. What's the next one? Can I just get the front page? Oh, Matanz Levyonim. That's a fun topic. They're all fun topics. Okay, fine. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow with Matanz Levyonim.